I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And this is a show that we tell the truth about aging. We have very, very big cheerleaders for successful aging, but that is not all the truth. And in this show today, I want to bring out to you some of the things that are going on that you may not know, that you definitely will not like, but which I call upon you at the end of this year to make a resolution, 2019 and thereafter, to do something about it. Now, I've been lit up about robotics for a very long time. I talk about it a lot. I've been viewing what's going on at the Consumer Electronics Show, which generally takes place in Las Vegas in January, since the beginning, when it had its first silver pavilion with technology for older adults. And all of this is wonderful because it does help with our digital health care. It helps with our communication. I maintain that MIT's Age Lab was responsible for the first driverless car, because you're going to have to fight us down to the ground if you want to take keys away from the baby boomers. We're going to want to be mobile and drive as long as we can. But what has emerged, and I talked about this in our last show, is Zora the companion robot. Now, Zora looks like a robot, a person robot. And Zora is remotely controlled by registered nurses and usually pays about $18,000 per facility to have a single robot. And the question is, why do we need a robot? Why do we need a robot as a companion? Will we take to it? Is this something to look forward to as we age? Is it a huge breakthrough? Or is it possibly an admission of shame, our inability to take care of our own elders? Now, during this show, you're going to hear a lot of my voice, and you're going to hear a lot of crinkling of paper. Why is that? Well, because this topic is way in the front of the news, as topics that regard aging never get covered. It's a fraction of the stories and the interest in the newsroom. This particular issue of isolation and need for companionship is just rearing its head. I'm going to give you a really little bit of an analogy, a thought picture. You're at the zoo or the aquarium, and you're at the seal pool. You don't see anything. You don't see anything at all. You just see some water. You're looking. Nothing's going on. All of a sudden, there's a little brown shape that's moving right at the top of the water. All of a sudden, a little scalp comes out of the water, a little brown. And you know the seal is there. That's the stage we're at. We're at the stage where the issue is just peeking out. It's just making a shadow and getting noticed. So let's start with USA Today. USA Today, here on November 30th, they call themselves the nation's news. And what are they covering? With a big map of the United States. The name of the article, Aging Alone, Overlooked and in Danger. Agencies find 235,000 elderly victims of abuse. Now, what are they talking about here? They're looking at stats from the Adult Protective Services, which had to intervene into 142,000 cases to protect seniors from what is now called, now we have a name for it, self-neglect. We really have to unpack this thing, this self-neglect. So there is such a thing as active abuse. People who are beat up, people who are stolen from, scams, even sexual attacks on the elderly. This is not what we're talking about here. That's a terrible thing. It's very, very underserved. We have a more consciousness about child abuse. And many years ago, there was a young lady called Lisa, and she was actually killed after being tortured by her parents. This took place in New York City. And an organization called LISA sprung up. I was part of that. It was called Let Intervention Stop Abuse. This was almost the beginning of our recognition of child abuse. And now every single state, every single community has some sort of victim help program. It's not enough, but it's there. For elder abuse, We, not so much. There are the Elder Protective Services, the areas on aging, and the departments of aging in every single community. But this new phenomenon of self-care abuse is just being recognized. Now, what is it about? Well, it's very complicated. First of all, it's a common threat to the elderly. It will be a common threat to us, no matter how rich we are, no matter how smart we are. If a time comes that we cannot do basic things like clothing, like our own medication, like our own feeding, who will actually take care of us, even if we have the money to make that happen, but we don't have the capacity? So one of the layers of self-neglect or self-abuse is simply lack of capacity. Something could happen to us, doesn't necessarily have to be Alzheimer's, it could be slow declines, and we simply cannot take care of ourselves. That's stage one. Stage two, we don't want to. In other words, we do not want help. Now, there are two reasons for that. One can be extreme depression. Many people who've never been depressed can get depressed as they get older. They don't want to cope with life, and they don't want anyone to cope for them. The other, by the way, and this is a lot of it, as reported by areas on agencies and intervention groups, is the desire to stay autonomous. And it manifests itself in things like an unsafe home, not changing your environment, refusing to move into assisted living or a nursing home, refusing to do small things like take the rugs off your floor, even if you're going to fall. We'll talk about falls in a moment. Hoarding. You know that a lot of elders hoard, and you wonder why. I mean, these weren't people who were doing this all their life. Is it a psychosis? Well, it is part of wanting to control your environment in some cases. And what happens is there's a lot of intervention that's refused. So it's not only that we don't have enough to help these folks. It's that they don't want to be helped as well. So that's another layer of this, because we want to keep our autonomy. The third layer is it's unreported. There's a state-by-state breakdown of how many of these kinds of cases get revealed, but six of our states, New Mexico, Oregon, Nevada, South Dakota, West Virginia, and Wisconsin, they don't really keep the stats, or they're lackadaisical about those stats, or they have different standards in determining what neglect really means. Now, what I think is important for us as future agers and as current family members, whether it's your very close relatives like a mom or dad, or whether it's a more remote relative, is this. First is recognition. This is real stuff. If your mother or father had a devastating disease and you knew that they did that, they had that, you would help them try to heal it or to recover. But this is something you may not see. And I have said this 100 times because it happened to me. We see our parents so strong. We see our parents so lucid. We want to see them that way. This is an overwhelming feeling. This is not a namby-pamby maybe. We want to see our parents live forever and stay strong. And so we don't recognize decline. A very famous gerontologist and friend of mine once said that older adults are like potato chips. They look great, but they break very easily. And we do not recognize that. We don't recognize self-neglect. And I will tell you something. It's even worse if you have both parents, because they cover it up and they try to help each other. And because there are two of them, it looks like, gee, this could really work. The fact that we have Skype and the fact that we have FaceTime and that we can see what's going on in the home requires us to take a look, even if we're in remote places, and to identify what might be going on. Now, there are things that you should know. One of them is cleanliness. This is the beginning of the end. If you particularly have fastidious parents or fastidious grandparents or loved ones, and all of a sudden you're beginning to see stains on their shirt, if you're beginning to see that the table is messy, if you're beginning to smell something, when you see them personally or even in their home, remember, this is the fountain of truth. We tell it like it is. There's a horrible old joke which I won't tell you, but it has to do with the fact that old people smell bad. Now, why is that? It happens to be true, by the way, in many cases. Fountain of truth. Well, certain medications cause that. So you may want to know what their medications are and if they're correct, which is part of self-neglect, taking the same medications all the time or skipping those medications or overtaking those medications. It can also be lack of self-care. They just cannot bathe. It is too much work. It is too much danger.
You may think that I'm full of
Well,
it,
when we come back, I won't make you any happy, but I hopefully I will make you more
happy,
aware. Don't go anywhere because I don't want any of the things we're going to talk about next to happen to you.
For my age, da 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 da, da 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 da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age, da 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello once again. Well, if that was something that you were able to sit through, try this one. We are going to be talking a little bit about the effects of self-neglect. And, of course, I have to cheer you up a little bit. We're also going to be talking about the solutions. This is an extremely difficult issue. It is an issue that we really would like to turn our eyes away from. Here at Generation Bowl, the Fountain of Truth, as a journalist for many, many years in the field of aging, and somebody's written, I think about 14 books now, it's becoming clearer and clearer to me where the sensitive spots of aging really are. So let me start by cheering you up a little bit. You know, for those of you who know me, I'm Adrienne Berg. I have a real cheerleader blog that's called Aging for Beginners. Most, and believe it or not, if you hear me for the first time, most of my writing is very funny, because I'm very lighthearted about aging. I'm very lighthearted about aging because my dad died when I was very young, and he never did age, and I thought I might not either. And now at age 70, I'm living my best life. So this is true of about 78 million other people, called the baby boom or now the boomer generation. We are the most educated. We do have the most money as a group. We have loving grandchildren, most of us. We have loving friends for those who are single. And we really are a relationship group. We are Wired. We're on Facebook. We are actually the fastest growing demographic to be on Facebook. And if you go to Cambodia, if you go to South America, if you go to Africa, you're likely to run into one of us going on one of our many vacations. This is a good life to live. This is a good time in history to grow old. And yet, there is this underbelly. Now, we talked about self-neglect, which is different from self-abuse or abusing. These are not people who have been scammed, beat up. This is your everyday elder, usually in their late 80s into their 90s. This is the person that you might still see coming to your Christmas party this year. And you might wonder why I'm particularly taking on this big, broad, and very difficult subject this time of year. Well, that's the reason. This is the time of year that most of us see our relatives, whether they are living remotely, and in some way we contact them by telephone or electronically, whether they fly to be at our table or we fly to be at theirs. This is the time that the old must be looked at. And old is not a number. Aging is not a number. It's a condition. We want to see what people look like, dress like, clean themselves like, and what their needs are. The very, very subtle changes that I want you to be able to capture. And I'll say the same thing here as I said in the first segment. A very famous and very dear friend of mine who's a gerontologist for what she calls complex care cases used a metaphor for me that I will never forget. Older adults are like potato chips. They look great, but they break very easily. Now, what happens when somebody does have that level of self-neglect because they're refusing help or because nobody is giving them a helping hand? What is the usual thing that happens? Well, there are many things, of course, in terms of decline, not taking medications. In my mom's case, having a pacemaker that should have been renewed and was not. And I will live with that all of my life. I don't want you to. But what usually happens is that they fall. And falls are the number one, I know you won't believe this, the number one emergency room problem in the United States, falls by elders, statistically. Now, of course, like my mother, many of us already, and many, many people who are older, have personal emergency response systems. I've fallen and I can't get up is an idiom that we have here in this country, and almost everybody knows the ad if you say it. Medicare is now giving some help in getting these devices. Great. They live in people's drawers. They do not get used. They often do not get used. Yes, they do save lives. And there are many, many true and anecdotal stories about that, but there are also many true stories about folks who will not buy them or wear them in the first place because they can't afford them or because they make people look old. So I'm looking at a full page in USA Today, November 30th, that same, ironically, really, the same paper and same day that reported on national self-neglect is a paid ad. And I want you to know it is a paid ad, and I'm not promoting this company. But it was actually excellent to read. There's a new what they were advertising is their new type of emergency system. They call it Fast Help. And they were giving coupons so that people could buy it less expensively. But within the ad, they had something that their PR person or their advertising company wrote as if it was a real story. Now, I know all about this because it's part of my work. I often do this for companies. So I understand that it was written by a PR company or an advertising company to appear to be a real story. But by law, it has to say paid advertisement, and I know that. Nevertheless, it's accurate. Just because it was done to promote a product doesn't mean it's inaccurate. So here are some of the things you should know, and it was done very well. Nearly 1.8 million seniors fall every year and spend more than 12 hours lying on the floor helpless. It's not just what's in the ad. It's true. Now, if they have an emergency response system, they have a tremendous ability, if they're willing to use it, to be up and running very, very quickly. When they have this type of issue where they're there for half a day on the floor, they are most likely going to end up with a broken bone and eventually an inability to be mobile, and that's going to lead, maybe sooner, maybe later, into a nursing home. That is a lot of money out of your pocket. That's a lot of money out of the budget of Medicaid. If they are eligible, it's a lot of money out of the pocket of Medicare. So we have both a heartfelt issue here, and we also have a caregiving issue where people are running on an airplane from all over the place because mom fell, and we also have a national financial issue and a personal one. This is a very big deal. Now, what this particular company is trying to do is something that many companies have tried to do, make this more palatable. They made it look different. Fast Help looks a little bit like a pager or even a phone as opposed to one of those things you hang around your neck. But it's not only up to the company, also up to us personally to have one of these, to use them, maybe to have them a little earlier in our life. I just did a piece on why we don't get hearing aids in my blog, Aging for Beginners, and I hope you will take a look at it. It's pretty funny, but it's also true. We don't want to wear a hearing aid because we'd rather be deaf than look old. And this is true also of these personal emergency response systems. We'd rather take the chance of falling and not being able to get up than looking old. So I call upon the designers of this world. I call upon the people who can make some money out of it, the design firm. When I come back, I'm going to reveal a new shocker about the country of Ireland and how all of this comes together. Don't you go anywhere.
For my age, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is the Fountain of Truth. And I'm doing something extremely unusual on the show today. I'm not having a guest because I've got to get this stuff off my chest. I absolutely got to get you engaged in this holiday season. So look around you. See the people who you love and recognize them for who they are if they are getting older. I want you to take the blinders off your eyes and see real people in the real way. Now listen to this. If your mother or your father is declining, it does not diminish them. It doesn't mean they can't take care of you or impart their wisdom to you or be a parent to you when you need them. I have seen folks in their 60s go into a memory ward and hold the hand of somebody with dementia and tell that person their problem. And that person squeezes their hand in such a way or looks at them with so much love, or even answers the problem. People who haven't said a word for months helps you. There's always that parent-child relationship. You are not destroying it by recognizing the fact that there is some decline and some need. Now, what we have been talking about, if you're just tuning in, is the issue of self-neglect. This has been all over the New York Times. This has been all over USA Today. Many other papers are all of a sudden looking at these huge statistics in the hundreds of thousands, not the thousands, the hundreds of thousands of people who are either unable to take care of themselves, living at home and neglecting themselves, refusing help, falling, even though they have personal emergency response systems because they don't want to use them. Somebody has to tell these people that they're still loved. The people who do love them have to recognize the issue and say to the patriarch or the matriarch, this is what we see. Now, you say that, but you usually say it in a bullying way because you know that there's resistance in either leaving the home and going to assisted living or a nursing home or using that personal emergency response system. Kids become bullies. They become 17-year-olds again. People have to know that if they do this, it's yet another stage of life. They continue to be loved, and who they really are still shines through all of the help that they may need. A wonderful, loving, caring person with a walker is still a wonderful, loving, caring person. Are we doing anything about it? Well, I said in what I called the tease, yeah, in Ireland, they're doing something about it. This was a shocking thing to me, and I want to tell you about it. There's a new partnership. It's the European Innovation Partnership on Active and Healthy Aging. Now, all of these things, including me, Aging for Beginners, my blog, the name of this show, The Fountain of Truth, the name of my company, Generation Bold, As You Get Old, You Get Bold, there are all these pep talk type of names. But the fact is, we are doing pretty well as an aging nation, but not well enough. So what is going to help this? The same thing that helped Willie Sutton. Show me the money. Here we go. The fact is that with rapidly increasing life expectancy, and I'm reading now from the website of this European Commission that's put together, because of the rapidly increasing life expectancy, reducing fertility rates, people across the world are having fewer children, and changes to population structure, there are major pain points for governments across the world in the area of, no surprise here, health, care, and pension systems. The other factor that's going to drive global markets is the, and here we go, purchasing power of older adults themselves. Accounting as they do, hold on, I told you it's going to be a shocker, 75% of net wealth in the EU and over 55% of all the household expenditures throughout Europe. Now, let's get our mind around this for a minute. See, we are very, very U.S.-centric. Why not? It's a great country. But sometimes, innovation comes out of left field. In this case, that field is Ireland, specifically Limerick, where I've been. Now, so Limerick is not just a poem. It's a community that is bringing together big players in the field of government, in the field of of nonprofits, and of course in the field of corporations. And who has signed on to take a good look at what's going on as we age? Well, IBM, Home Instead, which I have been a consultant to, Nestle Skin Care, which you may not even know exists, and universities, and of course, home authorities. Now, let me tell you, this is grassroots. You're kind of hearing this first, because that's a really very small list. The whole thing started in about 3 years ago and with 15 founding members, and there are more now, and it's growing and growing. But why is it growing? It's growing because of the money. Think about this. 75% of the wealth in Europe and the expenditures, over 55%, come from folks of a certain age, older adults. You know, it's like Willie Loman, Death of a Salesman. Attention must be paid. He couldn't get any attention because of his age, but this is happening. And how? What are they doing? Well, they're going to folks like you. They are holding older group sessions to find out what older folks really want. They started already a dedicated smart aging incubator in Limerick to collaborate with other huge companies and design centers. They've started something called the Design Shop, where folks sit around and they talk about how to design for aging so that it isn't embarrassing, right? So that it is possible to get to the bathroom without help, and a myriad of other things that we cannot even count, including these robots. Now, many times, and I always feel that you've been listening for a while, and I sometimes don't repeat what we've talked about before, but let me repeat this one, and that is Zora the companion robot, which is all over the New York Times very recently. $18,000, remotely controlled by an RN, and useful for people who are isolated, but can stay in their house as long as they're attached or associated with some sort of facility, and the robot takes care of them. So from technology to the simple issue of how we think about our own aging, this is beginning, and I assure you, here in the U.S., we have some similar things, and it will be eventually picked up. Because in the U.S., while it isn't as statistically the same as it is in Europe with the numbers of our wealth, we still are the wealthiest generation. The money is still here. The government needs us, and the government is concerned financially because they have to tax our qualified funds, our IRAs, our 401ks, our 403bs, which is where the money is in terms of wealth here in the United States. It's the biggest font of taxation in the country. So if you've got a decent financial planner there, they're looking at what it means for you and that wealth. But remember, that's not just a place for taxation. It's a place for you to withdraw and spend. And so we have become this force in the world of finance. We are still the consumers. And the question becomes, how is that going to be accessed? We do not take our own self-care if we're allowed to decline. Well, the answer is it's not. And it's going to be scammed away. It's going to be frittered away. It's going to be spent on caregiving and nothing else. That's going to become one of the largest arms of our economy. Other arms of the economy are going to be hurt. And so it is in everybody's self-interest to pay attention, to keep us as autonomous as possible, no matter how long we live. And the irony of this, and this is where I think the most important pressure point is for successful aging, the most important pressure point for us and for you as you decide on the decades ahead, is the irony of the fact that the more we admit our vulnerability and take help, the stronger and more powerful we get. I want you to take that home with you, and I want you to tell that, not just to yourself, but to the seniors among you, and also to the people who help them, that accepting help is a part of self-care, not a part of self-vulnerability. And we have a wonderful saying in this country, very typically American, and it's part of a song, only the strong survive. So who is strong? When it comes to aging, it's the person who can ask for help. And we're going to explore that as soon as we come back. Don't you go anywhere.
I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is our last segment of our wonderful show. Because why is it wonderful? May not be so wonderful for you, but it's terrific for me. Because it gives me the opportunity to say the things to as many people as I can at once that are in my heart and in my mind when it comes to successful aging. And you know, it's not easy to be the cheerleader for successful aging with a big smile on my face. You know, I love our theme song. And for those of you who don't know me, I occasionally introduce myself at the end here because I know the timing and when we're heard on the air, and a lot of people hear our last segment more even than the first, because it's later on in the day. But my name is Adrienne Berg. We've created this show for the past 4 years or more. I'll call Generation Bold the Fountain of Truth. It's the truth about aging. It's syndicated. And we now have a fairly substantial blog being published by a wonderful group called Bottom Line Personal. And you can take a look at that at Aging for Beginners. And you'll see that if you look at that or you go to our radio website, generationboldradio.com, it's kind of a lot of fun. It's kind of light. As a writer, I'm a comedy writer, an Irma Bombach type when it comes to aging, and you get a chuckle. All right, very good. And recently did something about hearing loss, something about baking bread, many things that have to do with successful aging on the lighter side. Even hearing loss, I was able to make a little bit funny, and people have been enjoying it. And hopefully it makes a difference. But not this show. This show is a down and dirty, difficult show that has to do with the issues of self-care and self-neglect in older folks. This time of year is the time when you see your family, and it's time for you to take a real look at them. And not put a mask over your face and see them only through the way you would like them to be, but the way they really are. Because one day, you may become their caregiver, and that's what I would like to speak about right now. Many of us are going to see our children, our adult children, our grandchildren, and our parents, because half of all 60-year-olds have living parents. This is a perfect time to think in your own mind, who is going to shoulder the responsibility of care for you in your family? Now, people who are doing that for their parents, you would think, would realize the issue, would see the problems in their life caused by caregiving, and would plan for it for themselves. But no, statistically, the people who have gone through being caregivers are no more aware of what they could be doing for themselves than people who have never been caregivers. And, you know, because I'm in the world of financial gerontology, we get a lot of studies done by big companies. Here's one by Lincoln Financial. There have been many of them by the names that you know. And they give some very interesting statistics. First of all, still today, most of the caregivers are women. Simple as that. One way or another, as many people as 78% will be caregivers in some way. Right? 76% in a survey said that their parents expect more help and long-term care from their daughters when it comes to their aging. Right? And when it comes to providing care for a spouse, 48% said that they do provide that for their husbands, whereas a very, very small percentage said they provide care for their wives. The wives more frequently do end up in an institution like long-term care assisted living or nursing home. women tend to take care of their husbands at home to the end. Now, this sounds very old-fashioned. I understand that, but it's now. It's today's baby boomer, or leading-age baby boomer. In other words, the oldest of the baby boomers now in their 60s and 70s who are still doing this. And these are women who were executives. Many of them still are working. But that is the statistics. And what is the issue? Well, 86% respond emotionally and feel that it's been an emotional burden for them. 71% have a time burden because of it. Interestingly, 67% have a physical burden. It's very, very hard to bathe somebody. It's very hard to get somebody out of a wheelchair. I once saw a demonstration of taking a man's belt and tying it around the person in the wheelchair and yourself and making it a tool to lift somebody out of a wheelchair. It's very difficult physically to do that. About half of caregivers have taken a toll on their own personal health. About 40% are really concerned with costs. Now, what are we doing about it? Those of us who do not need care right now. As I said, this is a holiday season where I'm flying cross-country to see my kids. What is the last thing I want in this world? To be a burden to them. And so we go full circle. How many people are really worried about being a burden? I'll tell you, statistically, through many surveys, about 65% are very concerned about being a burden. And the other percentage, right, the other 35% aren't thinking about it. Because I'll tell you now, if you are going to be relying on your kids to take care of you, and they are wonderful enough to do so, 100% of you are a burden. That's it. Case closed. So, what can you do about it? And you say, well, there's a minute left to the show. How could she tell me what to do about it? I can tell you. It's very simple. There's something called a healthcare proxy. There's something called a healthcare power of attorney. I have people come into my office day after day with the most beautiful wills you've ever seen, the most gorgeous trusts you've ever seen, and lovely powers of attorney. Delicious. Guess what? Not one of them comes in with anything that has to do with their health care, except maybe what I call the living will or the pull the plug, which says what happens if you're terminally ill. When you're terminally ill, it'll take care of itself. It's when you have those declines, those dementias, those diagnoses, those issues of self-care. If you want to think about it now and get it into your health care proxies and your health care powers of attorney, and if your lawyer doesn't know what they are, let them just run away. Or read my latest book, How Not to Go Broke at 102. There are actually forms right in the book. You can get it for about 83 cents on Amazon, How Not to Go Broke at 102. I'm serious about this. I rarely promote anything that I've done. But you've got to have these documents. This shows that you're thinking about it yourself. And now for the happy news. Just get out of your kids and make it happen.